Well, amen. Go ahead and grab your seat there if you would, where you are, and grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, this is almost a silly question because the answer is so obvious. Do we have any gamers in the room? If so, say amen. Oh, come on, y'all. I know I got like 10 gamers in my house. I don't even have 10 people. They play it so much. I know y'all don't. I don't want to admit in church I'm a gamer. Okay, fine, whatever. I know there are gamers in this place here. The month of May, man, is filled with some big hitters that are going to be dropping on the PS5 platform. All right, there's a James Bond game coming out, 007 First Light. There is a Resident Evil Requiem coming out. There's also going to be a little funner side of all of those is going to be a Lego Batman, Legacy of the Dark Knight. Now, these are all about to hit the stores before May is out. But if you want those games, y'all better get ready to pony up because every one of them costs $69.99 plus tax. It can get real expensive if you are a gamer. But you know, the best games to play when we were younger didn't cost a dime. I'm not just talking about when I was younger. I'm talking about when all of us were younger. It was those things that didn't cost a dime. They were all right there, free of charge to come and do and to play and all of these things. I'm talking about some of the classics. I'm talking about some of the old school games that we all played when we were kids. Games like tag. Better yet, freeze tag. Freeze tag was always better, a lot more fun. One of my all-time favorites, hide and seek. That one's still fun, even at 46. You're getting a serious game of hide and seek, man. That's fun. How many of y'all remember red light, green light? Mother May I? Simon Says. All three of those are kind of the same game, just a little different twist on each one. But as I was reading over today's text, one particular classic childhood game came to mind. It's the game, Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. In fact, that's the title of this morning's message as we begin a summer series that I'm calling Growing on You, which will focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Follow the Leader. Remember that one? Right? One kid becomes the leader and everybody else that's playing the game has to imitate the leader doing whatever the leader does. Walking, right? Maybe doing a funny walk or hopping along, or maybe silly motions, climbing over stuff, balancing on a beam or a log as you go across, right? Making certain sounds. If the leader does it, you got to do it. Maybe some kind of dance move. You know, my kids would always do the floss, or so I could never do it. I was out. On and on it went. Now, my favorite version of Follow the Leader, as I got a little bit older, was the bicycle version. Anybody play bicycle Follow the Leader, right? You get bikes, you go out. You know, my brother and my guys in my neighborhood, in my neck of the holler, we love to play bicycle follow the leader. Wherever the person, the leader pedaled, you had to pedal. And I had this one move that I loved to do, man. There was this big stump in our front yard. And if you hit it just right at the right speed, it was like hitting a ramp. So, woof, and you just go flying. It felt like I was 10 feet off the ground. I was probably 3 inches. But you know how it is when you're a kid, man. If you hit it just the right way, you got some pretty good air. And it was fun then to watch everybody else try to do it. Man, those were some carefree days, weren't they, back in the day, all right? But while Follow the Leader, it's a really simple game. It taps into something that is actually deep, really deep. As we turn to Galatians 5, 16 through 24, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is teaching us through Apostle Paul here. Because here's the deal. Here's that deep thing that it taps into. People become like whoever they follow. Amen? People become like whoever they follow. And Apostle Paul here in this text is trying to get us to understand that, and he's trying to get us to follow the right person, the right thing. So let's read along here in our text, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in the 16th verse, the Bible says this, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warned you before, I warn you again that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I'm wondering the text there. Did you notice that follow the leader dynamic that was there? People become like whoever they follow. So here's the question that we're all going to answer. We all have to answer this, and it's going to be our treasure today, today's treasure. We're going to dig into this and try to get to the bottom of this in our lives. Today's treasure: which leader will you follow? That is a simple question, but I promise you, it is a profound question for our lives. Which leader will you follow? And to help us make that decision, there in our text are at least five truths. We could point to many, many more, but there are at least five truths that are going to help us make this decision for our lives. First, the first truth that we see is that you have two potential leaders: flesh or spirit. Flesh or spirit. We see that straight away in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, there's spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There it is, those two, right? Flesh and spirit. Now, you're probably thinking, I mean, preacher, there's got to be more than two options. I mean, there are all sorts of people that we could follow, all kinds of leaders we could get under and get behind. But you got to understand this morning, beloved, that beneath every influence and every desire, under every worldview, every decision, there are ultimately two leaders that you can follow. It's either the flesh or the spirit. Those are really the only two when you boil it down. Now, what Paul calls the flesh, it's more than just the physical body. It's that fallen, sinful nature, that sinful spirit within you that's animating your body that says, I want what I want, when I want it, and I'm willing to sin to get it. The flesh, it prioritizes cravings, impulses, self-gratification. It's ruled by what looks good, what sounds good, what smells good, what tastes good, and what feels good in the moment. And so it's very in the moment, very temporary in that regard, very contemporary in that regard. It's also very sensual. It doesn't think about tomorrow. It doesn't think about holiness. The flesh doesn't think about the repercussions or how it's going to affect other people's lives. No, I mean, it's focused on self. It's about me. It wants what it wants now. It doesn't care about the consequences. It doesn't care about who it hurts. And you need to understand this morning, that's one of the leaders that's vying for your followership: the flesh. But Apostle Paul here, he points us to a second option, a second potential leader, the Spirit. Now, every single one of us in this room has a spirit, right? Every human being has a spirit, a pneuma in the Greek. It's that immaterial part of you, that real you, that's the life force of your body. And so at first glance, when you read about the flesh and the spirit, you might be tempted to think that it's talking about here the physical part of you versus the non-physical part of you. The material part of you and the immaterial part of you, like your flesh is bad, but your spirit is good. But beloved, that's Gnosticism. That's not Biblicism, okay? That's not what it's talking about here. Remember, when it's talking about your flesh, it's talking about the totality of your fallen humanity, both your body and your spirit, your body and your soul. And that fallen nature that you have operating in all of that, it's in opposition to God. And so when you read about the spirit here, it's not talking about our spirit. It's talking about God's spirit, amen? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the same word here, both for our spirit and God's spirit, it's the same word in the Greek, pneuma. But the context here, it clearly tells us which one he's talking about. He's talking about ta pneuma, ta hagion, ta theou. It's the Holy Spirit of God. This is the other leader that's vying for your followership. And so now those two leaders, they come into clear focus here as you think about this. My sinful self or my holy God? My sinful self or my holy God? The flesh or the spirit? Those are your only two options. And both want to be your leader. Which leader will you follow? This brings us to the second truth in our text, and is this, very simply, you cannot follow both. I know we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to eat our cake and save it for later, right? We can't do both. And in this case right here, you can't do both. Verse 17 makes this abundantly clear. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to one another. They keep you from doing the things you want to do. In other words, the flesh and the spirit, they lead us down diverging paths. They pull us in opposite directions. As I think about that, my mind immediately goes to another one of those classic kid games, man. Tug of war. I love me some tug of war. You might say, of course you do, Ben, because you're chubby and you were always the anchor. That's right, I was. I was on the end of it. I was like, I dare y'all to pull me. I'd get it back there. I was anchoring and whatnot, right? But one of the best tug-of-war games I ever witnessed was in person at Greek Week on Tug Day at Western Kentucky University. I didn't go there. My wife graduated from there, but also my brother graduated from there. And my brother was part of the farmhouse fraternity. Do they have that in Mississippi? Is there a farmhouse fraternity at Mississippi State? Anybody know? Yes? Okay, cool. So it just ain't Kentuckys that are rednecks. All right, I see that. All right. These were just good old redneck country boys, man. It was their fraternity. And I tell you what, they were great at tug of war. My brother was a farmhouse guy. All right. And their real competition, there were other fraternities, but when it came to tug day, there was really only one competition, and that was between Farmhouse and Alpha Gamma Rho, the AGRs, right? AGR, first three letters of agriculture, okay? Another good old boy redneck fraternity. And they were really good at tug of war as well, and as you might imagine, yeah, rednecks dominate that kind of sport, all right? My brother, he invited me along, and man, when those two teams hit the field, I wish y'all could have seen it. It was a sight to see. They marched in unison with gusto, and they were chanting things as they came along the way, and they got in there into their positions, and they began to kick the ground and paw and get their footholds built in and all. I'd never seen anything like that in the world. And when they all finally got set and they grabbed a hold of that rope, man, they went to yelling and screaming and sweating and straining. It was like some guy had a bullhorn, pull! You know, just stuff like that. It was crazy to see. The farmhouse boys, they got beat that day. The AGRs had them that day. Really, when looking at it, thinking back, it's a wonder the rope just didn't break. And in the end, like I said, AGRs, they topped out the Farmhouse Boys. The AGRs went that way, and the Farmhouse Boys went that way, and eventually they all went the AGR way, right? One eventually had to win because they were pulling in opposite directions. And beloved, that's what the flesh and the spirit do. They're not going along together. The flesh is going this way. The spirit is going that way. And so you can't follow both. It's actually impossible. So which leader will you follow? That brings us to our third truth today from the text. And it's this: your fruit reveals your real leader. Now, I know when we ask this question, which leader will you follow? Or if we were to put it in the present, which leader are you following? Every one of us in this room, we want to give that Sunday school answer, don't we? Oh, you better believe it, Pastor. I'm following the Spirit. Well, maybe you are. Or maybe you're not, right? Sometimes, let's be real. Sometimes we try to deceive others. Or sometimes we're just deceived ourselves, aren't we? But Apostle Paul says here that there's an objective way to tell which one you are following. There are things that'll grow up out of your life. They're called fruit, right? That's what he calls them. He calls them fruit here. They're the product of whichever leader you follow. I mean, just like in an orchard, right? This is very common knowledge sort of thing, right? He's appealing to things that we've all seen in our own lives. An apple tree will produce apples, amen? That's how you know it's an apple tree and not a pear tree. And you say, well, yeah, they've got different leaves, they've got different bark, they've got different structures. Well, yes, but for the regular person, the way you know the difference is the fruit, right? One grows apples and one grows pears. The same thing for orange trees or peach trees, I mean, whatever it may be. They are defined by the evidence they produce, right? The fruit. You know what the nature of the tree is by the fruit it produces. And Jesus says that's true of us spiritually as well, right? Apostle Paul says that's true of us as well. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, he's talking about here in the midst of like false prophets, wolves amongst us, right? He's basically saying, you don't know the difference between the real Christians and the fake Christians. You will recognize them by their fruits. He goes on to say, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. And that same dynamic, it's expanded on here in today's text. We see the fruit of the flesh, the produce of the flesh in verses 19 through 21 in our text. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, right? He puts an ellipses on the end here. He puts an et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And look, these are some nasty fruit. The fruit on this list, it's kind of like a grapefruit to me. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm telling you, you talk about some nasty stuff. Y'all that eat grapefruit, I don't know how you do it, right? And what a stupid name, right? I mean, it's nothing like a grape. But anyway. Or the fruit on this list, maybe it's like the durian. I mentioned the durian in a Change Begins in You post here recently. You ever heard of the durian fruit? Here's what one looks like. It's a spiky fruit from Southeast Asia. And it looks really exotic, man. When you look at it, it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. I mean, I wonder what that thing tastes like. But from what I read, you don't get near tasting it because you can't get close to it because of the smell. Apparently, the odor is like garbage and sewage and rotting flesh all mixed together, man. I mean, that is some nasty fruit. And in fact, all over South Asia, this fruit, the durian fruit, is banned from public transit. You can't take it, you cannot have it in your lunchbox if you're going to take the bus, okay? If you are staying in a hotel, you cannot have the durian fruit because the smell just lingers on and on. So they look exotic, but boy, you talk about nasty. But then we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now these, y'all, are those sweet, juicy, delicious fruits that we love, right? I mean, this is the strawberries, the watermelons, the peaches, the apples of the spiritual world, right? The fruit that people long to experience. Just this morning, or maybe it was last night, Facebook Mathis peaches popped up, boy, and it was just baskets of peaches. Like, we got to get some of them peaches, right? I love peaches. These are fruit that bless. So as you look at your life, which fruit do you see more of? Which category of fruit do you see more of? Do you see more fruit of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit? That's going to tell you which leader you're actually following, because the fruit of your life reveals your real leader. That's the third truth in our text. Here's the fourth. Number four, your leader is leading somewhere. You got to realize that. I mean, that's what a leader does, right? Newsflash, leaders lead. Leaders lead somewhere. I mean, that, of course they do. That's what a leader is, somebody who takes you somewhere. And here in the text, Apostle Paul here, he doesn't just catalog all the works of the flesh and just leave it there. No, he tells us the byproduct of producing this kind of fruit, right? He adds a destination. He wants you to understand that leader is taking you somewhere. And after listing all these fruit of the flesh, he gives a word of warning. We need to heed this morning. Galatians 5:21, he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that word inherit there, that's key, isn't it? Inheritance, it's relational, right? It's passed on from somebody else. It comes from a relationship. You inherit from someone you belong to. You inherit from your dad. You inherit from your mom. You inherit from somebody that you're connected to. So do you belong to the flesh, or you belong to God? Have you given yourself to the flesh, or have you given yourself to God? You see, every leader has a destination in mind, and the flesh doesn't just want to influence your behavior today. It's pulling you step by step away from the kingdom of God. If you follow this leader, listen to me closely. If you follow this leader, the flesh, you will miss heaven. You will miss heaven. This is a road leading to destruction. The flesh leads to exclusion from heaven, which is to say this, the flesh leads to inclusion in hell. I want that to set for just a moment. The flesh leads to inclusion in hell. Do you want to bust hell wide open? Then follow the flesh. But the Spirit will lead you to a very different place, the Bible says. Now, it's not explicitly said in our text, But it's implied. If you follow the Spirit, you will indeed inherit heaven. Your final destination will be on the streets of gold there, in that beautiful city, forever. So, which destination do you desire? You have to realize that your leader is leading you somewhere. So, which leader will you follow? To choose your leader is to choose your destination. The leader you follow today, he is charting the course for where you will stand tomorrow. Finally, this truth, to wrap up and to help us make the decision concerning the question we're asking today, is this truth number five: you can have victory over the flesh. You can have victory over the flesh. Now, when I ask which leader will you follow, I mean, the answer is clear, right? We all should want to follow the Spirit, right? That's where goodness is found. That's where blessing is found. That's where salvation is found. That's where heaven is found. But the flesh and the devil, it doesn't give up easy. They don't just give in, throw in the towel. That's why, right now inside of every one of you, there's a tension between the flesh and the Spirit if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, there's not much of a battle going on there. But if you are a Christian, there is a tension there. There's a conflict inside of you. There may be even a war going on inside of you. You have to understand this morning, y'all, the flesh is a threat not only to your current happiness, but to your joy forevermore. We've already covered that. So how will you engage that threat? You know, in the years leading up to World War II, Neville Chamberlain and Winston Churchill, I mean, they offered two very different approaches in the UK there to the growing threat of Adolf Hitler and Nazism. Chamberlain, he looked at the rise of Nazi Germany, and he essentially said this: if we just keep accommodating it, if we just keep giving a little ground, if we just keep trying to avoid conflict, peace will come. He kind of became famous for waving this signed agreement declaring, peace for our time. But Adolf Hitler wasn't weakened by appeasement. And it only emboldened him, right? It only strengthened him. Every compromise simply heightened the danger. Churchill, on the other hand, man, he had a different approach. Churchill kicked some hind ends, right? That's what he was about. He understood something critical. You cannot defeat an enemy that you refuse to confront. He warned that passivity, man, that would not preserve freedom. The threat had to be resisted directly, decisively. The church, I'm afraid that too many people think about the flesh like Chamberlain. You know what I'm saying? They try to appease, they try to manage, they try to negotiate. I'm just going to give in a little. I'm just going to tolerate this. I'm just going to keep this private. I don't want to be too extreme. But y'all, the flesh is never satisfied with partial surrender. Every act of appeasement, y'all, it just strengthens it. No, sin must be dealt with like Churchill, instead of like Chamberlain. That's why Paul doesn't say here in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have wounded the flesh. He doesn't say managed the flesh. He doesn't say disciplined the flesh. Look at what he says here. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Y'all, that's violent language. That's decisive death language. What he's saying is that you and I cannot passively drift into victory over sin. We must follow the leadership of the Spirit to actively engage in war with the flesh. It's not going to die by simply ignoring it. It must be nailed to the cross. And you have to nail it daily because it keeps trying to raise back to life. The good news is that you can have victory over your flesh, but only if you get serious about crucifying it, pleading the blood of Jesus over yourself, right? Committing wholeheartedly to follow the Spirit. Over the next few weeks, over the course of the summer, your pastors are going to walk you through each of these fruit of the Spirit. We want to help you to grow in every one of these areas of our lives. I pray that these things will be growing on you and growing on me. No doubt, a lot of that fruit's already there. But that fruit that's there, I pray would grow bigger and juicier and sweeter and all of those things that come along with it. But it all begins right here with this one question. Which leader will you follow? Here's my final prayer today. May our lives bear the unmistakable fruit of the Spirit's leadership and the flesh's defeat. And all God's people said, amen.